Timothy chapter number 2, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and just going to share a few thoughts. The first Thursday in May, I believe since the late 80s, I want to say Ronald Reagan signed it into law. I can be corrected on that, I'm not sure. Signed it into law that the first Thursday in May is designated as National Day of Prayer.
Okay.
And now I will say this, as many invites as I've received for the National Day of Prayer, I don't just go link up with everybody to be able to go pray. I don't get together with the pastors around our city praying for our churches, because I'll be honest with you, I don't want God to bless their church if they're not preaching the gospel.
Amen. Okay?
And so I know they had a rally. I have no idea who was involved in it. Not a rally, but a time down at the State House at noontime today. And so I was not down there for it. And so I am very careful on who we are going to link up with and pray with, okay? Because how can two walk together except they be agreed, okay? And I can't walk through the veil of prayer to the throne of grace if I don't agree with the man or the lady that's in the group and we're supposed to be spending time in prayer together, okay? And I will pray for America. And as long as we're praying for the same thing, when I say for God to save America, I'm not saying that from the elections, I'm talking with the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And God to be able to save America. But I am thankful, at least for a day. And I say, listen, I haven't watched any news today whatsoever. I've hardly pulled it up on my phone to be able to read it. I don't think there's been too much as far as that's being said on the national scale about the day of prayer, which is sad, okay? And here's the other reason. Not everybody is praying to the same God that you and I pray to.
Amen.
That is one place several years ago that I highly disagreed with President Bush, when he said that even the Muslims, we all pray to the same God, and Allah is the same God as the Christian. He's not.
No.
And so we've got to be careful. I want to make sure we're praying to the same person, that we understand who we're praying to. But I do appreciate that our country does set it aside. I wish that every day, and I may send something out on this tomorrow, that tomorrow still ought to be a National Day of Prayer. And it ought not to be a day, but it ought to be a lifestyle. And we ought not to have just a moment or a time of prayer, but we ought to have a prayer life and not just a prayer time. But I do want to encourage us tonight. We are going to spend some time. We'll hand out the prayer sheets in just a moment. But I ask Miss Becky to go ahead and put President Trump on there tonight, to put Vice President Pence, to be able to put our representatives, to be able to put our senators on there. So that we can pray for them, okay? And I believe, I'm pretty confident for all but one, we need to pray for their salvation, okay? And pray that God would save them, and then pray that they would govern according to the authority of the Scriptures. But I want you to see this in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, as Paul was speaking to Timothy, the pastor there at Ephesus. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, when we look at this, verse number 1, he does say supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, so I believe we ought to be praying for each other. And then I believe we ought to be praying for the lost also. Some people, and I've heard a man say this before, that there's nowhere in the scriptures that we're exhorted or commanded to pray for lost people. And I think you ought to read his Bible, first of all, because Romans chapter 10 starts right off, and the Apostle Paul says that his prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. So even Paul was praying for the salvation of lost people, for the nation of Israel. And then we're praying here for all men, and he comes down to verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved in the context of being able to pray for them. But he specifically points out, and I want to encourage us on this, and I won't call us out, we won't have an altar call tonight, but I wonder through the Obama years on how many of us prayed on a regular basis for President Obama. I am praying for that man. At least we can pray for his salvation. At least we can pray for God to be able to do something in his heart, and that's the only thing that's going to change someone. But he points out here in verse number 2, for kings. Now, you've got to understand, back in the Bible times, they were dealing with literal kings. I mean, they had just come through the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Rome was over the nation of Israel there, and they had the king Caesars, okay? They had the king Herods. They had come through, the nation of Israel understood what it was to be able to have the kings throughout history. And he said, for kings, but then for all that are in authority. Now, we can be praying for them, and here's why we need to be praying. And I believe it's a twofold application here at the end of the passage. Number one, we ought to be praying that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, okay? Those things are not going to come, first of all, without a regular prayer life. But then I believe we ought to be praying for our leaders, for God to be able to speak to their hearts, for them to be able to be saved, for them to be able to live godly, because in turn, we can live a godly life. And we say it's a little bit easier, and I do believe we have a little space of grace right now, okay? For the first time in a long time, this president, vice president, are actually more religious friendly and faith friendly than what we've had in a very, very long time. And so I praise the Lord, but when you do have righteousness, or I know we have righteousness at the VP part, okay? And even Mike Norris said, and I don't know if you heard it, it was during during the day sessions, and he was showing all of us pastors his personal prayer list and going through it, and he said, I have on my personal prayer list, he said, I've got our president, and I've got our vice president and his cabinet. And he said, isn't our president the most ornery guy that you've ever seen before? He said, but isn't he just doing an awesome job? And he said, we just need to keep praying for him. And the purpose of that is, listen, if we can have righteousness at the highest level in government, it sure does make a difference for us being able to have the privilege of serving the Lord. Now, here's what takes place, and here's why I believe we still have to have a vibrant prayer life, is because when the church was vibrant and when the church was growing, it was actually under some of the greatest persecution from leaders that were in authority that drove the church to their knees in order to be able to serve the Lord more. And so I don't believe that just because we have a space of grace that we just need to sit back and we need to coast along. I believe we ought to be taking as much advantage of it as possible during this time. And I believe when we have days like this, listen, if it is in the news media, what a tremendous opportunity it is to be able to spend the time talking about it with those that are around us. And all you're doing is talking about the news. Hey, it's National Day of Prayer. Did you get to pray somewhere today? I mean, just open doors with people that are around. Most people, especially out in the world, probably don't even realize that there's a day that is set aside for us to be able to petition the very throne of God on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our churches, on behalf of our families. And so I just want to say that I'm thankful. As much as what the Bible says about prayer, I understand, America, we have our problems. I'm still thankful I live in America.
Me too.
I'm still thankful that we get to open up the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm still thankful that, listen, we can bow our heads and pray tonight, and we're not worried at this moment about someone coming in and arresting us for being able to do it. We're not in the position of Daniel, where the only place they could find to be able to get Daniel was in his worship towards his God. And they had to wait outside his prayer closet till he opened up his window. He said that's the only place we can get him. I'm thankful we don't have people standing outside waiting for us to bow our head and pray for them to be able to come in and say, hey, I got you now, I can arrest you. I'm thankful for all that. Yes, we got our problems. Yes, they're killing babies by the thousands every day. I'm thankful we have some states that are actually standing up and doing something about it right now. Alabama is getting ready to vote that is just about to the point that it will ban almost all abortions in the state of Alabama. I mean, it is that close. The governor of Ohio signed in the heartbeat bill that as soon as that heartbeat is detected, they cannot abort the baby. And I'm just thankful that there are places, and we still live in America. Hey, listen, we're not Venezuela tonight. We're not taking to the streets and having armored vehicles run us over in the streets of Venezuela. We're able to worship our God freely. And we're able to spend time in prayer. You say, what's going to make the biggest difference? I believe if we'll do more of what we're getting ready to do right now and spend more time on our knees and on our face before God, we'll do more than anything else we'll ever do. Protesting, picketing, the king's heart is still in the hand of the Lord. Amen. And we can go directly to the throne of God, and let's be praying for kings, let's be praying for all those that are in authority. Now listen, I've told government officials, I've told them I'm praying for them. Never once have they asked me what I'm praying for. But I've told, listen, I've met some lost people, and I told the Speaker of the House, I said, I'm praying for you. He said, man, I appreciate you. Never said what you're praying for. I told other representatives, I told our previous governor, I told this governor, I told him, I said, listen, I'm praying for you. I'm praying to get saved. I'm praying to give their heart and their life over the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what will make the difference. And so I'm asking God to be able to work. And so I do, if I can't, Nate.